Hey everyone, it's David Chen. You may or may not be aware the Filmcast has a Patreon page at patreon.com/filmpodcast. Every week we answer listener questions, talk about random topics, and also do rewatches and bonus reviews. We wanted to share a bonus review with the main feed. This one's for Anita Mansour's new movie, Polite Society. We talk a little bit about our overall thoughts on the movie, then dive into spoilers. Hope you enjoy, and of course, to listen to the rest of the episode and get access to other ad-free episodes and exclusive After Darks, go to patreon.com/filmpodcast. Thanks to everyone at Patreon for supporting us. We really appreciate it.
I'm Rhea Khan. I am going to be a stunt woman. My sister Lena is the only person who believes in me.
Want to help me with a vid for my channel?
She helps me with all my training.
You are going to be such a great stunt woman.
That was dope though.
But lately, she's been seeing this guy who I think is a bit of a smarmy wanker. You know, it's a trap.
Oh my God, Rhea, chill out.
Now, I'm not being dramatic, but these people are evil.
That was from the trailer for Polite Society. Let's discuss it. This is the plot summary from IMDb. Rhea Khan believes she must save her older sister, Lena, from her impending marriage. After enlisting her friend's help, she attempts to pull off the most ambitious of all wedding heists in the name of independence and sisterhood. This movie is written and directed by Anita Mansour. We are going to discuss our one-sentence reactions to this movie and whether you should go see it before diving immediately into spoilers. Jeff Cannata, really curious what you thought of Polite Society, and should people go see it?
Should people go see it? I was disappointed with this movie. I do think there's a lot of fun to be had. I wouldn't say don't go see it. I think it is, you know, it takes place in a culture that doesn't get a lot of representation on in big movies. And I think that part of it is really fun. And some of the characters are very fun. And I think the first half of this movie is really fun. I was super disappointed by the second half. I we'll get into it in spoilers, but I just didn't like where the movie went. And so I was pretty disappointed by the movie. But it is pretty fun and perhaps worth checking out.
I had almost an identical reaction. Except I would say the first two-thirds of the movie, you know, the final third that really got let down. And the first two-thirds, I just want to say, I think I had higher highs than Jeff. I was thinking to myself, this is like one of my favorite movies of 2023. Like watching the first movie, I was like, this is incredible. Love this. And then I was also disappointed by the ending. Devendra Hardwar, I think you've recommended it in the past, but I'll give you an opportunity to just reiterate what you had to say about this movie in the past.
I did. I mean, I love this movie. I think it's funny. I think the action's great. I think it does cast a lens on folks that don't typically get featured in movies or anything, really. So I love Anita Mansour, and I love We Are Lady Parts, and I think this one is equally as good. I agree. There's some sci-fi elements toward the end that don't quite work, but also what it represents is kind of hilarious and also not something that I think a movie has ever really fully explored. So I love imperfect movies. This is definitely an imperfect movie, but the highs are so high. Definitely see if you can. And I think it's worth the theater because it looks good. The action looks good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's dive into spoilers for Polite Society. But so in terms of the first two thirds, the relationship between Rhea and Lena, I think just really, really works. Ritu Arya plays Lena. Priya Kansara plays Rhea. And I think they just do such a wonderful job, particularly Priya Kansara, who like I've never seen before in anything. I don't think this is like the first movie I've seen her. I think she was in Bridgerton for a couple episodes, but she's wonderful. And the first two thirds of the movie, I think really like all the characters are great. The parents are great. The friends are great. It's just like, oh, this feels like classic Sundance. This feels like one of those movies that like, it would have been purchased, you know, 15 years ago. And then they would have released it. It would have made like $50 million at the box office. You know, that's what it felt like to me. Yeah.
It had very big Scott Pilgrim vibes.
Yeah,
right?
It did. Yeah.
Which is a movie, you know, I like a lot.
Yeah, I believe Anita Mansour talked with Edgar Wright about this movie too. So like Scott Pilgrim was like part of the framing of it. Yeah,
I honestly think structurally the movie is very similar to The World's End by Edgar Wright, where like you have a character who has kind of these personal issues, and then like this outside alien force comes in, and you need to like, or sci-fi force comes in, you need to like deal with it and help resolve your issues that way. But yes, as Devendra hinted at in the pre-spoiler. this movie worked really well for me when it was about, when it was a coming of age story about this character trying to deal with her sister going off and doing her own thing and living her own life. Like, that is a very, very relatable feeling, a relatable situation. And all that stuff really worked for me. And then you see how, like, this character, Rhea, like, starts to, like, alienate even her closest friends in her pursuit of this mission. Yep. And how damaging it can be. Right?
She's spiraling into a real kind of manic, unhinged view of the world. And the fact that the movie then validates all of that felt... It didn't land well with me.
They certainly could have connected it better. But I do think, like, the initial conflict is her sister just not knowing what to do in life, right? And it is... Her sister's like late mid-20s, you know, somebody who's going through college and dropped out of art school, and Rhea's a teenager. And to her, the world is so much simpler. It's very black and white. Like, you fight for your dreams, you do what you want, right? And that's it. Your life will work out. The movie is very much about that.
Movie is on her side. The movie is on her side. Like, that is ultimately the worldview that emerges from the film.
It does push back a lot against that. But also, I think by the end, I forget if the sister... is even saying, like, yeah, I'll go back to art school. It's more like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. That's okay. You know, I think, like, it is on her side because she's the protagonist and we're kind of following her with it. But I also don't think the movie excuses a lot of her behavior early on, too. So,
yeah, that's what was great about the movie, I thought, she's doing all these things. And in particular, when she plants the condoms, it's like that is when it's like, it goes beyond, it's over the line. And, like, and that's when it's like, oh, wow, like, and then I thought to myself, oh, the rest of the movie is going to be about how, like, she and her sister can still reconcile and be, you know, a unit after all these terrible things that have happened, and that it's okay to let things go. It's interesting. We just watched this Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. We just reviewed that on the Filmcast. And that is a movie about how it is okay to let go, you know, or partially is about how it is okay to let things go, to let go of people that you loved and were occupied a certain role in your life. And it's okay to let that go. And we get this movie, which, I think has the opposite message, you know, which is that
I think we kind of get there. But
tell me how we get there, because at the end of the movie, as Jeff said, I think, like, everything that the main character Rhea's fears are validated, right? So I think we as the audience, yes, maybe some of the ways that Rhea took to get there were not great, but it's like at the end of the day, Rhea was right. Right. And Rhea also gets everything she wants. You know, like, her sister doesn't go off. The stunt woman writes back to her. It just felt like this weird fantasy when, like, the first 2/3 of the movie, despite having some fantastical elements, like with the fighting and everything, still felt very grounded to me.
Like I said, I think the sci-fi elements of this movie could have been connected better. I think by the ending is them reconnecting as sisters and not being just like, well, I'm going to go back to art school. I'm going to go, you know, do everything we initially planned, you know, like it to me, like, that we didn't know if that was going to be happening. I do want to say, like, yeah, I wish the writing had connected what Rhea was worried about better to, you know, to the actual, like, sci-fi plot that's happening here. But I also think a lot of it rests on Nimra Butcha as Rahila, as the mother, you know, of the groom. And I think she does a good job of just conveying a sense of sinisterness, like, throughout this whole situation too. And it is very much a class difference. It is a difference in their homes and the way she's living, but it's also the difference in the way, like, she is treating, you know, she's kind of treating Rhea's family as well. The relationship between her and the son is really funny because it is one of those things people talk about where a mother will, like, overmother, you know, their prized firstborn boy, you know. And this is the funny part is it's like the logical conclusion of that. It is the mother, you know, doing the machinations to make sure she is always with her son, even if it literally means he's kind of marrying her in a certain way or her being reborn to him. So I think that's all really funny. But yeah. You guys are right. Like, I do think the writing could have, like, connected a lot of these things better.
Well, yeah, it's not so much, you know, when you say connected, right? It does. Here are some things that the movie, I think, does really well. And I'll start by saying, you know, I don't think any of us are experts in South Asian courtship and mating rituals and so on. So, like,
I'm not an expert, but I've heard many things. Yes.
We have some passing knowledge of it. And I think what's great about the movie is, it does something that I think a lot of movies, a lot of great movies do well, which is you take a latent anxiety or practice or whatever, and you make it into like, you exaggerate it to its logical extreme. So in this case, it's this idea of there being power imbalances when it comes to match, you know, these matches that are made or arranged marriages, right? And oftentimes the woman is expected to just be to be crass about it, like a breeding machine, right? You know, like she is reduced to her parts. And this movie is like, what if we did that for like, but for real? Like it was actually like scientifically, like we, that was the sole purpose of what they're trying to accomplish. Yeah. And Devendra, as you point out, the relationship between, the guy and his mom is also like really well rendered as well, I think. And it's kind of like an exaggerated version of
the very mama's boy where
it's like,
type of thing.
Not only does this woman who is his mom want to choose who he marries, like she literally wants to become her. Right. And that's like a really cool kind of Get Out style idea as well. That I think is like interesting to explore. I just think that those ideas shouldn't have been attached to the other movie. Right.
I agree.
Shouldn't have been attached to this like very grounded, touching, funny because coming of age story.
What the beginning of the movie is establishing is that Rhea is living in a fantasy world where there's good and evil and things that are, by the movie's own set of rules, feel a little immature and unrealistic to the world. What Rhea is learning as her sister is experiencing these things and she's butting up against adults in that world is that, hey, maybe my sort of overly simplistic view of things isn't going to serve me well in life, right? Maybe... you know, I'm trying to put the world in these boxes of good and evil, and these people are evil, and that. And then the movie goes, except for these people actually are evil, cartoonishly so.
But in this case,
yeah,
she was right.
Exactly. And so it completely undermines all of the work that's done in the beginning of the movie to kind of create a much more nuanced, interesting story of this coming of age, this woman, this young woman who is realizing that the world is more complex, and she can retain some of that ideology or some of that idealism. She can retain that like that. I want it. We're rooting for her to still have her ideals by the end. Right. And still want to go for her dreams and support her sister's dreams and all those things. But what the movie just goes in this, like, well, because the world is completely cartoonish and these, you were right about them being super villains. Like it just, it becomes detached from any kind of grounded, realistic message that we could pull away because it's like, oh, this is just cartoon logic now.
I absolutely agree completely. Sorry, Jeff, didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's okay. Yeah. Because I loved what this movie was doing through most of it. I was so on board with her journey and her discovery and using the tools of fantasy and genre and her imagination. Like, I never thought that her fight, you know, that it would come up with like so-and-so versus so-and-so and have these cool fights. I never interpreted that in the logic of the movie as a literal representation of what was happening in that world. I always thought we are seeing this filtered through the fantastical imagination of our main character. And I was on board. That's awesome. Like kind of in a Scott Pilgrim way. Like that's not the real truth of what's happening. But by the end of the movie, it's like, no. That was the real truth of what's happened. Like that is, we're in a cartoon. And I just think that didn't do the movie any service.
I can see that. I totally see what you guys are saying. I'm saying it's doing both. And when you try, I think it does show her growth. Like she kind of does learn most of the lessons of like, okay, like maybe I do have to let my sister grow after a certain point and then start seeding the truly evil elements in the more sci-fi
stuff. It's true. She kind of learns the lesson.
She does.
And then is like, but I was still right in this game. So it's not like she doesn't learn it. It's not like she has no growth at all. I would agree with that. But it is an awkward, it's very much like we talked about the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 post-credit scene that kind of like undercuts a message that we just saw. Like that is what it feels like. I do want to give some praise to many of the sequences in the movie, right? Like The fight scene between her and her bully at school, I thought was great. There's basically like two quasi heists in this movie with the laptop and then the other thing. And I thought those are both really, really well done. All the fight scenes were like shot really well. And,
They did the whole making the actors train for several months ahead of this movie too.
And you can tell,
I think Priya Kansara looks good.
She looks great. She has the moves. It's very great. So it's like there's a lot of like great things about this movie, and
there's a lot. There's a dance sequence during the wedding sequence, which is directly taken. It's a reference to Devdas, which is a very, very famous movie. And the way she does that dance sequence is very much it reminds me of the J.J. Abrams Star Treks, right? Where Spock can say "Live long and prosper," and it's basically "F you." This is basically a romantic marriage dance, but she does it violently in a way and it looks like a big aggressive thing. So I thought that was kind of fun too. So
there's a lot of good things. Visually, that scene looked amazing as well. Like it just, there's a lot of like great things about the movie, and ultimately I would still recommend it. Like I do still think it's worth checking out. But it is really rough because I think like Jeff, I was thinking to myself, this is like literally one of the best movies I've ever seen in my life. And then down to like, oh, it's just okay/pretty good because I just find these two messages to be very discordant with each other, you know? And that's a little bit of a bummer. But at the end of the day, it's still a unique work. It's still something you should check out in theaters if you can. There's still a lot of great things about it. So any other thoughts on the movie?
I will say I kind of expected that you guys may have some issues with this movie too, but I do appreciate a movie that takes that swing more than something that maybe plays it safe too. So I do appreciate the fact that Nina Mizur tried to do this thing where she mishmashed a coming of age movie with like a really, really bonkers sci-fi story too.
Yeah.
I wish it like blended together better, but it would have been
a different ending. Like the whole end of the movie would like, the movie ends with this huge bombastic fight scene, emotional catharsis, triumphant ending. I understand why you want to have that in your ending. Like that's a great way to end the movie and send the audience out feeling like, wow, that was amazing. But it just didn't match what I thought the first two thirds of the movie was setting up,
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Anyway. I think she needed to be wrong. She needed to be wrong and then find meaning in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Like make meaning out of that. I agree. Yeah. I agree. That would have been, but you know, we talked earlier in this After Dark about feeling old, and maybe that's part of
maybe
if we were like 21 watching this movie, we would be like, oh yes, amazing. Of course she was right the whole time, you know? Like,
yeah.
So maybe it's part of our current worldview as well.
I did love the parents. I did relate a lot to the parents.
Oh, they're wonderful.
I loved the parents.
They're great and accepting too. Like this movie didn't do the immigrant parents being like, oh no, you cannot do that.
Right.
Girls cannot be stunt women, yada, yada, yada. There's a lot of Bend It Like Beckham in this movie too. Like it is like an evolved form of that, but I do appreciate that the parents are just like super cool and chill and accepting, you know?
She was awesome. She had that cool scene where she's like, hey, I sent her to art school. She dropped out. I didn't make her drop out.
That's her own choice.
Yeah. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's wrap it up. Polite Society. Fun movie. Check it out. Devendra really liked it. I liked it. Jeff also kind of liked it. I think we just wish it was
a little disappointing.
A little disappointed. I feel the same way. I was on such a high. And then I kind of lost a little bit, but I still think it's worth checking out. It's unique. And it's worth watching just for the relationship between Rhea and Lena.
I think those two actors are going to be stars. I think they are
very charismatic. Especially
can't take your eyes off them.
Her face is so expressive. Like, yeah.
I also loved the friends Serafina Be and Ella Brucolari, who play her friends.
I didn't really love them. But,
really? I'm usually very irritated by those characters, those kinds of characters, and I thought they were very amusing. So
they were a lovely bunch of weirdos. Yeah. And I think that is exactly what you need for a movie like this. I also want to shout out the last episode in Gadget Podcast. I interviewed Nita Mizur, so go check that out if you want to hear more about her and what she thinks. Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Those are our thoughts on Polite Society. And I think you might be listening to this on either the main feed, in which case check out patreon.com/filmpodcast for more After Dark episodes and other fun topics. And also, or also on YouTube at youtube.com/@thefilmcastpod. Thanks for watching us there as well. Until next week, it's Beau Is Afraid, going to be the main review of our next episode. Thanks for watching and listening. See you later. Bye.